Lawrence!
Paul Goody!
So, people are going to hear the opening where I'm, like, describing me getting into position. I'm going to be holding my phone this entire time.
How far away are you from your computer's microphone?
Oh, no, I moved the microphone here. You can see the microphone. It's right there.
Oh, all the way down there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, is that going to be too far, you think?
Well, how close are you normally to it?
Oh, normally it's right next to me, but I'm going to be talking loud this whole time. Can you hear how loud I'm talking?
Well, yeah, you're a little...
Are you concerned about what the audio is going to sound like, Ben?
You're talking to the back of the house.
Yes, exactly. I'm doing it on purpose so that my audio will be loud enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're starting a half an hour late.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Why is that?
Okay, so...
You do a show every week for 5 years.
Yeah.
And somehow, you still gotta be reminded.
Well, there are two reasons. Number one, we are doing it a different day than we normally do it.
True
That's a small thing, but it is a factor. But number two, I work on the East Coast, but I live in the Midwest, so already my clocks are off. Right? Because for work, and I don't like to talk that much about, you know, what I do for work, as you know, but I'll just mention this one thing briefly, and that's that for work, I am on East Coast time. Like, all the clocks on my work computer are East Coast, everything like that. So I usually stop work at 5 p.m. East Coast time.
4 p.m. That's your usually, time.
Well, and when I say that, I actually don't stop work at 5 p.m.
Forget everything I just said.
No. 5 p.m. is when I should stop working. Do I work much longer hours than I should? Yes. And that goes into what's going on. So normally, though, 5 o'clock is quitting time. And then, all of a sudden, I switch back to Central Time, it's 4 o'clock. So today, I worked till 6 o'clock East Coast time, quit, it was 5 o'clock Central Time, 5 o'clock, that's when I'm done with work, it's actually 4 o'clock, is what happened in here. And so I was like, yay, I'm going to go to the comic book store, and I was actually... the comic book store is also a role-playing game store, and there's a game called Kids on Bikes, which is based kind of on E.T. and Stranger Things, that kind of... It's the 80s, and you have a small town that you're in and all that kind of stuff. And I got it because I'm trying to get Andy, friend of the show Andy, into role-playing games. And he's really big into, you know, the 80s nostalgia kind of thing. And so I'm going to gift it to him and say, I want you to run this. I want you to learn this game and I want you to run it. And then I will play it with you to see if I can get him into it. Because here's the thing. If you're a writer and you want to write stuff and you have a hard time motivating, getting a script out there or doing anything like that, role-playing games are great because you basically... are writing. You're writing for a very small audience, but the people that actually go to it enjoy it, usually. And so I have a gaming group that I play with. I'm going to start DMing here in a couple of months, so I'm already planning for that. But I would like to get Andy into playing as well, if I can, because I think he'd really enjoy it. So I was out buying the book Kids on Bikes.
So,
and then
I got a text from you
that said, it's Friday.
Because I sent you a text on Wednesday saying, hey, I can't do Thursday. Let's do Friday. Can you do Friday? And you're like, yes.
And I should have not been at the comic book store, but I was.
Because you were buying a game that you wanted to give to someone else because you want to play the game.
Yes. It's all very convoluted, I know.
Do this for me.
my plans are... it's not even going to be here, do this for me. It's just, hey, there's this role-playing game. I know that I talked to you about Dungeons & Dragons. You say you were sort of interested, But I found this other role-playing game that's much better, along the lines of the kind of thing that you're interested in. What do you think? You know, that kind of thing. So, I offer a large apology to Stephen McCandless, and the other people that Stephen said to come listen to the podcast.
Basically, the Annex company who's on Signal.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, everybody. Maybe some of you are still here. Is anybody actually there?
We got
they have a great excuse to leave.
We got a couple people. We got a couple people watching.
A couple people is more.
We also have a voicemail that I can play.
Yeah, I would like to hear this voicemail. All
right, let me make sure you can hear the voicemail. No, you can't hear the voicemail. Hang on a sec.
Okay.
There we go. All right, so you should be able to hear this. And playing it now.
Is the voicemail playing? Because I cannot hear the voicemail.
Oh, you can't hear it? All right.
I'm just letting you know.
Can you hear me? You can't hear me.
I could hear the voicemail.
Oh, you know what's happened. Haha.
I also can't hear you now, if you're talking.
Well, you should be able to hear me now.
I can hear you, Ben. Hello.
All right. I didn't push a button I should have pushed. I'm going to play the voicemail again.
All right, here we go. Ready.
Playing in 3, 2.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Ben. It's Chris Confey. It's a little bit after 4 o'clock. Stephen McCandless just posted something on our Annex Signal channel and said, call this number at 4 o'clock and something, Goody Lawrence podcast. So that's what I'm doing.
Hey!
I assume this is being recorded since you just told me you would be likely doing that. So other than that, I hope you both are doing well, and you and yours, staying safe and healthy, and really look forward to... Ben, I think did we actually see each other in person yet? Like a couple of weeks ago? It's just the whole idea of like seeing people in real life is a very weird experience all of a sudden, but one I'm looking forward to. So, again, hope you're doing well, and, hopefully we'll talk to and or see you very soon.
So that was, friend Chris Compte.
Did you see how happy that made me to hear Chris Compte's voice? So great. So great. Chris is a mensch in the parlance, and used to live on a boat.
He did. He did used to live on a boat. He also had a van that he could, one could technically live in. He didn't live in it, but he really liked having the habitable vehicles.
Yes, and then someone stole his van. At one point.
That's a story, actually. So someone stole his van. He got it back, and then I can't remember the exact sequence of events. I think he got it back, got it fixed, and cleaned up from the damage that had occurred while it was stolen. It was parked in a parking lot on a busy street. There was a big accident on that street, and a car from that accident hit his parked van, totaling it in this parking lot.
Man,
so just after he got his van back, he had to give it up again because it was totaled.
Oh, Chris, thank you for calling into the podcast, and I'm sorry that it turned into us talking about how your van died twice. but Chris Conti, very, very nice guy, super, super supportive of Goody Lawrence. And just all around wonderful human being.
He's been in a number of our performances.
When we got flooded out of our, or not, yeah, we got flooded out of our house for a little bit. I say flooded out of our house, but to be real, a pipe burst. So we flooded our own house, kind of. It wasn't like a storm or anything, but we needed a place to stay, and he let us stay in his tiny house apartment. That was so meticulously maintained and organized. It was amazing. And Jennifer said part of that is because he used to live on a boat.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, I just want to let you know, I don't know how good my audio is going to be because my microphone's on the floor.
Yeah,
discussed this. But here's the thing. You know, which is more important, the light or the sound?
Depends on if you're watching the stream or listening to the podcast.
Exactly.
So if you're listening to the podcast and the audio's crap and I haven't bothered fixing it, just click on the YouTube link that's right below this on the show page.
I am going to try to fix the audio a little bit before I send it to you. I always do. I always take the furnace sound out. So we'll see. Together, it'll be a group effort. But anyway, the reason that I am working later this time, without going into too much detail, because as you know, I never mentioned anything about where I work and what I do.
I don't even know where you work or what you do.
Imagine if somebody had, you know, you're like, well, and blah, 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 and then they took one sentence that you said and fixated on that. So give me an example. Ben, tell me what you've been doing for your video clients, if you've been doing anything for video clients.
Like how detailed do you want to be? So for my video clients, I get sent a layered AI file, and it is my job to separate the layers and animate them in such a fashion as to turn it into basically a small cartoon.
Okay, so this is great. So someone says, layers. I don't understand this layers thing. I need you to write me a 50-page essay describing how layers work. In addition to the other stuff that you're already doing. That's what I'm talking about. There's an additional piece of work that doesn't have, that is related to the thing that I do, but has never been really that fully examined.
Is this extra work? Is this extra work intended to give a person in a managerial position who does not know the scope of the work that this person is supposed to be managing? Is this intended to give them a better idea of what they are in charge of?
In my analogy, what I would say is this: the depending on what I mean by the word layer, right? I could either be talking about an aspect of a computer program, or I could be talking about part of the managerial process. And they are unclear which one I'm talking about, and therefore are asking for additional information. And the scope of the information that they want is extensive, but that doesn't mean that they don't need the information they're asking for. Basically. So it's one of those things of it's an extra thing that I have to do that isn't planned into all the other stuff that I'm doing, basically.
Right. Well, that sounds fun.
And yeah, well, you know, it's not great, but it is fun in a way. I've noticed that I do have fun solving problems. I do have fun solving problems, and therefore work is kind of fun for me.
Because it's like a puzzle.
Yeah. Although, if I could just do nothing but play role-playing games all day, I would like to do that as well. I am on RPG TikTok now. TTRPG TikTok. Have I mentioned about what it is to be on blank TikTok already?
No. Well, you may have, but I wasn't really paying attention.
So TikTok has an algorithm, and based on that algorithm, it kind of shows you videos that you might be interested in. Right? So, if Twitter, for example, thinks that you like farming, it'll start showing you a whole bunch of videos about farming. And in that case, you could say that you're on farming TikTok. Same way, if you really like the saxophone, and all of a sudden you start seeing a lot of saxophone things, people would say that you're on saxophone TikTok.
Okay.
So, I am on TRPG TikTok, so I see a lot of stuff about Dungeons and Dragons now, which surprisingly enough is great for me because I really enjoy listening to and talking about it. Recently, Ben, there was controversy on TTRPG TikTok.
Oh no, what happened?
It was about metagaming, which you, as an actor, I think, will be able to understand very well. So, role-playing games, and you've seen them before, you understand how they work.
I know what a role-playing game is, yes.
So role-playing games, you're like, I say to the, excuse me, how much are those horses? Why, sir, those horses are $8.05. $8.05? Oh, that's too much. You'll feel my blade, you know, whatever. Like, yeah. People talk back and forth like that. And then there's also the table talk part of it, which is like, how many hit points do you have left? Oh, I've got about 10 hit points left. Okay, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what metagaming is if you're playing and you're fighting, the example that somebody gave, if you're fighting a troll and your character has never seen a troll before, your character wouldn't know that trolls are that trolls are hurt by fire. So an example of metagaming might be, I'm going to shoot fireball at the troll. And then your friend says, hey, don't do that. Trolls are immune to fire. Or I'm going to shoot fireball at the troll. I keep on getting the wrong thing about troll, because you'll see why in just a second. They say, I'm going to shoot fireball at the troll. And they say, great, trolls take extra damage from fireball, right? And somebody says, that's metagaming. But the example that I would use, a better example of metagaming, is you, Steven, and I are players in a game. Let's say Chris Compte is running the game. And you and Steven have a conversation, and what you're saying is, hey, I think Paul is possessed. We should cast Detect Good and Evil and see if there's an evil spirit in him. Right? And then, but you're saying that away from me. Like, you're on guard duty, I'm in my tent, and I say to Chris Compte, I want to make sure that I have my charm defense up so that they can't cast Detect Good and Evil on me. Well, I didn't hear that conversation that you guys were having. It's in that part, it's cheating, basically.
Right.
And that's where the argument was. Some people were like, everyone knows that trolls take extra damage from fire. That's how you get good at the game, and plus I'm in a fantasy game. Why wouldn't people know that? You know, that kind of thing.
Steven asks, how is metagaming different from role-playing? Can't you be role-playing a character that isn't familiar with trolls?
Well, and that's the idea, is that you would, if you're role-playing a character who's not familiar with trolls, but you as the player know them, and therefore do things that character wouldn't do. So, like, for instance, knowing that a troll regenerates, right? So trolls regenerate. That's one example. If your character has never met a troll before, doesn't know any lore about trolls, all that kind of stuff, and then you say, hey, watch out, these things regenerate, that's an example of metagaming. You, the player, know something that the character doesn't know, and you're still using it in the game.
Almost sort of like the basis of religion, and there's beings in an ethereal plane, unbeknownst to us, pulling the strings.
Exactly. And you know, very much as a kid, you know, I shot you, no you didn't. Right? that kind of not playing along with the other folks is a problem. Anyway, when the I reason was... I kept on...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when I was in high school...
Sorry, go ahead.
It's a bit, ladies and gentlemen. No, my friends and I played Axis and Allies when I was in high school, and as teams, as Team Axis or Team Allies, we would go into a different room to discuss strategy.
Yeah. So yeah, imagine somebody eavesdrops on you and then uses that in the game. That's kind of the
That's
thing.
Called cheating, and people weren't, people thought that was just an aspect of gaming and not considered cheating. What's the controversy?
The thing that's weird about it is that, you know, it's supposed to be cooperative, right? So imagine, if you will, that you and I are in a play together, and we know the characters that we're playing. You know, it's not cheating to do something in character, right?
Yeah.
So, like if you and I are improvising, you know, you don't really cheat at improv. You work with your team to tell a story. Kind of that's how a lot of people who said that it wasn't cheating were thinking about it. You know, as long as everybody agrees and they're having fun, is it cheating? I would say no, it's not cheating at that point. I wanna back up for just a second, because the reason I kept on saying trolls were immune to fire is that's what some people were talking about. They were like, even though we all know that trolls take extra damage from fire, in my game, trolls are immune to fire. That way, if somebody metagames, it doesn't work.
So they're changing known conventions to get an advantage?
The Dungeon Master is changing known...
Yeah, do Dungeon Masters have that sort of granular control over everything?
Yeah!
Can they game the system?
Well, again, it depends on what you play. Like for instance, when I play... Right? There's some people, like, here's an example. You know about ability scores, Ben?
Ability scores, yes.
Okay, so intelligence is one. If you roll an intelligence check, right, and you fail, this is what one person said, you don't get to tell me how you fail. I as the game master, tell you how you fail. I don't do it that way. When I play, I'm like, oh man, you have failed that intelligence check. Tell me what that looks like. And I let them describe, you know, how they misinterpret what they're reading. So for instance, someone's reading something in Elvish, and they say, well, I can translate Elvish, and they roll their intelligence check, and they get it wrong. And they say, this says that we're about 5 miles away from the castle, because that's what they think it says. But even though that's not what it really says, that kind of thing. I let people say what's happening with their characters as much as possible. Some people don't like that though. Jennifer played in the game one time where she kept falling off of things because she was failing her dex checks, which to me seems silly. Unless the game is all about, at that point, dexterity checks. Anyway, I know that our regular listeners don't like to hear me talk about the nuances of role-playing that much. They're here for the news content, Ben.
Yeah, the uninformed news content.
Juneteenth, Ben! Juneteenth!
Now a national holiday, and for the next
a
2 years, well, for this year and next
holiday.
Year, it's it falls on a weekend. So some
and,
companies
and yeah.
are taking today as a holiday. Some companies are taking Monday.
Yeah,
some companies aren't observing it at all.
I can tell you that the federal government is taking Friday as the holiday. And the interesting thing about it... There are some people who are like, thank you very much for making Juneteenth a holiday. Sometimes they're even sarcastic. Would you please stop killing black people
yeah.
as well? Which I think is good. Here's my feeling about Juneteenth being a holiday. I think Juneteenth should be a holiday because some white people don't want it to be. And therefore...
Yeah.
Therefore, it is still a step forward, even though it's not, like, demonstrably changing people's lives
it's,
for the better.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe.
Private businesses... Are private businesses, by law, allowed to follow federal holidays? I don't think so, because you can be open on, you know...
Yeah. I can tell you from experience that... private companies can make federal holidays optional.
Yeah. So, but you know that there's some there. You know, there's probably a large swath of racist shop owners out there probably in the South. I don't mean to, you know, to cast aspersions on a region, but
I don't know. Yeah,
who were like, I'm not closing my store for this holiday.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that it was only the South with that problem then, but I know some people in not necessarily Seattle, Washington, but places close to Seattle, Washington, who would have that same. It's the fun thing about working in a manual labor job in Seattle. It really opened my eyes to some, and not to say that the people in the tech world don't also have problems, but when I was working at Amazon, people weren't vocally virulently racist.
Well, that's because it was considered taboo. Now it's sort of like, you know, just out in the open.
Yeah, exactly. There is a lot of stuff with it, but Barack Obama was president at the time when I was working on a crew where people actually were using disparaging terms for people of other races in a building in Seattle proper.
Yeah.
From people from that area. So, yeah. Not great.
No, you don't have to go far anyway, to see Trump signs in windows and houses.
True. Oh, my gosh. There's a... Did I ever tell you the house that Jennifer, Betty, and I drive by all the time that has Trump signs that say F Biden?
You've mentioned
and
this.
And they use the full word, Ben, also. And,
oh, how dare they?
Stick figures of people hanging. All sorts of stuff like that. Somebody who isn't me... Oh, yeah, I did mention this because I used... somebody who isn't me, and I must stress, isn't me, goes up and rips those signs up all the time, but then they keep putting them back.
who isn't you is you?
No, it's not me. Also, Juneteenth. Just to stay again, it's not. I want to make it clear. I'm not saying there should be a holiday that's set up specifically to anger white people. What I'm saying is because the holiday angers some white people, it is an important holiday to have. Basically,
yeah.
It's much. I feel as though it's much more useful. Much more, it opens up a conversation with children and things like that more than MLK Day does often. Because I did see a couple of people saying, I had to describe what Juneteenth was to my 7-year-old son. And when he learned that they were, the slaves were freed, he said, what else do they get? And he said, well, they get to go where they want to and be with their family. He's like, yeah, but what else? And he realized that his 7-year-old son had worked out the idea of reparations in his head. Like that this is all there is. This is the only thing you get. I'm reminded, and you know, people have often marked the difference between, not the difference between, but the legacy between the prison system in the United States and slavery. When I was a kid,
there are documentaries about this.
There was a guy who finally got out of jail after being wrongfully imprisoned, and he had been wrongfully imprisoned for like 30 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, are they going to pay him? What happens now? And they're like, no, he's out of jail.
That's his payment.
Wouldn't he sue them or something? And they're like, he's probably not interested in causing any more trouble. This was in like the 90s.
Yeah, well, nowadays people who spend years wrongfully in prison, they get you hear stories about people like that getting a healthy payout. Sometimes not nearly large enough though.
And that phrase, he's probably not interested in starting any more trouble. He didn't start any trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble happened to him. It's like the woman who accused the kid of stealing her wallet or purse or whatever, I forget, or phone. It was her phone. She accused the kid of stealing her phone. And it turns out that she was wrong, and she had physically assaulted this kid. And she said, well, you have to think about it from my perspective. My phone was just stolen. And you have to remind her, no, your phone wasn't stolen. You thought your phone was stolen, and it wasn't. Yes, but you have to think about it from my perspective. This kid just stole my phone. No, he didn't. He didn't. You had to keep on bringing them back to the idea that this was a misconception you had. You were wrong.
Yeah.
And this isn't a let's let bygones be bygones or whatever, and move on with our lives. You were wrong, and you did a wrong thing. And me, Ben, personally, when I was in Seattle, Washington, and I thought that the driver missed my stop, I said, excuse me! And then I realized that the stop was actually further down, and I said, I had a question, and it has been answered! I still think about that all the time and feel bad about it.
I think you covered nicely, though.
Assault a young person.
Were you the only one on the bus? I'm assuming it was a full bus.
Oh, heck no. No, yeah. This is a crowded bus in downtown Seattle. It was Westlake. We're going from Capitol Hill to Westlake. So, very crowded.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of angering white people, mask mandates.
What about them?
Well, they're getting lifted. Have you heard about this?
Oh, they're already lifted in Illinois.
Oh no, we're late on the curve here because we like to play it safe up here in the Pacific
Northwest. Yeah, it's a good idea.
But our in King County, our vaccination rates have hit 70%. So in 2 weeks, that the governor is going to lift all the mask mandates and all the inside restrictions. And Washington State as a whole is probably going to hit 70%, they say, in the next couple days.
Yeah, Illinois hit whatever number it was looking for. And so now our
50%.
Yeah, they said no. Maybe.
A lot.
15 full percents, Ben.
Well, it's Illinois. I think Northern and Southern Illinois have different numbers.
But, oh man, can I just say, as part of Southern Illinois, everybody dislikes Chicago.
Yep.
But if it weren't for Chicago, we would be in dire straits often.
That's Seattle to Washington State. I mean, everybody on the east side of the mountains hates the liberal Seattle, but you know, you wouldn't have roads if Seattle didn't exist.
Oh, hey, speaking about Steven Twitter, are there topics? Do we have topics?
Oh yeah, Steven was flooding our inbox with show topics.
Because we should do that. We should do the show topics.
Oh, but the reason why I brought that up is because I went to a bar yesterday for the first time in a year and a half.
Which and, bar was it?
St. John's.
Don't know it.
And I don't think it was around.
That's the other thing.
You've probably been there. It's on Capitol Hill. Cole and I were here at the theater yesterday shooting some promos for the Panel Jumper Live, which is happening in September. And we went to have a drink, and like, you have to wear a mask in, but you can take it off when you sat down. We sat outside. They have a back porch, so we were outside. But it's a trip. It's like I'm having to try to get used feeling comfortable not wearing a mask around people. I still wear it outside, you know. I would say as of now 50% people just milling about outside are not wearing masks anymore.
I mean, it's already that way here. I have a mask that I keep in my bag, but by the way, bag reveal. This is it. This is my bag.
That's your wallet bag?
Yep, it's my wallet bag.
Yeah, it looks like you're wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah, it's by design. I like it. so grocery stores, everything. They're like, again, I said I would stop when the employees stopped wearing masks. Employees that have been vaccinated don't have to wear masks anymore.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that in the stores that I visit too. The smaller grocery store on Pike Street is no longer, which it was the first store that I saw that actually had masks for customers when they came in.
The smaller grocery store on Pike Street.
Well, there's a bigger one, which is the QFC, and the smaller one that I go to, which is
what's the smaller one?
It's the Amazon Go store. Being a good lefty pink Okami, I don't really want to support the huge corporate overlord of Amazon.com, but I can't help it. And besides,
I thought you were going to say the big corporate overlord of QFC, which is also,
well, Kroger is also a terrible company, but
yeah. Oh, is it? I didn't know that. Wait, is QFC Kroger?
Yeah, almost all the grocery store chains around here are.
That is insane.
So, one of the topics that we can or cannot talk about is the fact that Google used neural networks to design chips to more efficiently train neural networks.
Huh. Well, that makes sense, actually. Eventually it's going to be neural networks all the way down, right?
And then Skynet turned itself on.
I really want us to become a post-work society, Ben. And I think that artificial intelligence and neural networks are part of that.
They're certainly going to take over my job.
Well, that's the thing, is that I imagine, if you will, you just say to your desktop or whatever it is, hey, make me a video of a cartoon robin flying around in the air to the sounds of American Woman by Lenny Kravitz, and then it would do it. This is what we're talking about.
Well, but you wouldn't be able to use, you wouldn't have the rights to use that song.
Oh my God, Ben. So the song American Woman by Lenny Kravitz, but find me the royalty-free version closest to that song. I mean, it'd be crazy, insane, but it could happen.
I'm working on something now, which I wish I could just tell a computer to do it, because I really don't want to do it.
I was going to say, is it this podcast, Ben? Oh, my God.
No, I'm not doing this. You are looking at a simulation of me participating in this conversation.
I really do think that in the future, podcasts are going to be one of the first things that happen to artificial intelligence. You're going to have two AIs talking to each other about whatever topic you want. And that's how you're going to learn things.
Well, every once in a while you hear a story about, you know, some nerd who's like, I forced a bot to talk to another bot and here's their conversation.
Exactly.
Or I forced a bot to listen to 100 hours of Lenny Kravitz music and now it gave me a royalty-free Lenny Kravitz song.
Again, it's how AI Dungeon sort of works. AI Dungeon will generate just a story. You don't have to put input in. But the input that you put in changes the way the story flow works, right?
Yeah.
So in the end, you know, two bots having a conversation will just be one bot having a conversation with itself. And that goes into non-dualism, Ben.
Well, and also there's
just one consciousness.
Calling it a conversation, I think, is kind of weird because bots don't need to orally or verbally process anything. And so one bot just connects with another bot and instantly they trade information and change their, change their behaviors.
There was a situation where, they had two chatbots talking to each other and eventually they came up with their own language that wasn't anything like English, but they were still sharing information back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't remember the article or where I saw it. But
Girl Scouts have millions of unsold boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
Give them to me. Or to the...
What's your...
because
what's
of
the your jam?
Pandemic, or
what's your jam when it comes to Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Thin Mints are, of course, are pretty good.
Yeah.
Room
temp or frozen?
Oh, frozen. Yeah, I go with that.
Yeah.
But my favorite has got to be the coconut kind. What are they?
The Samoas.
Samoas. Yeah, those are my favorite.
Yeah, those are my top two as well. I'd probably go Samoa first, then Thin Mints.
You know, Ben, I'm with you on that. I was just saying, I mentioned Thin Mints first because they're the most popular brand, and I wanted to say that I do go with those. Third one, Dark Horse, the shortbread.
Okay.
If I pick a third, shortbread.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm assuming it's because of the pandemic and the Girl Scouts aren't on every street corner.
Yeah, that probably would explain it, I think. Also, yeah. Betty's not in the Girl Scouts anymore, so.
Did you have a direct supply of Girl Scout cookie boxes when she was in the Girl Scouts?
Yeah, we would just buy them from her.
Yeah. When I was in elementary school, every year we would have this event where us as students would have to sell these chocolate bars.
Yeah.
And I just made my parents buy boxes of them, and I would just eat them.
Shout out to Stephen McCandless. Because of his support of Betty's band fundraiser, she has a lot of her band fees paid for this year. So that's pretty cool.
Excellent. He does support the people, McCandless.
Yes. So good.
Here's one which is I don't know if Steven wants it to be a topic of conversation or was just not necessarily a cry for help, but just wants to talk. He says, if my life is pointless, is it enough that I'm successful in EVE Online? I have friends there, people count on me, they've gotten me through some hard times.
Okay. So, I say yes. I honestly say yes. Steven, if I can just speak to you directly, the concept of non-duality, which I'm getting really into after a glitch in the Matrix, a guy who's into that sort of philosophy found one of my talks about simulation theory and talks about non-duality a little bit. And I watched a lecture of his online about it. The difference between, and I don't want to sound crazy, but the difference between your community on EVE Online and your community with the people around you is not as high as people would like make it seem. So the idea that the people that you interact with on EVE Online, you're supporting them like you would support people in the quote-unquote real world. The connections that you make there are just as valid as your connections to the real world. So, in non-duality, of course, what they'd say is your connections to people in EVE Online are just as meaningful as your connections to people in the real world. Meaningless, it's just you and the universe. And as soon as you... So, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that, especially, My enjoyment and the camaraderie that I have with role-playing games in general are very similar. And also, Steven, I did not want to, imply that my dislike of playing online games is in any way, shape, or form. Speaking bad about people who do enjoy it, I think that were I in a different mindset and if the online communities that I have experienced were different, I could get sucked into a rabbit hole with that a little bit. But at least for right now, I avoid them because it ends up causing me social anxiety. Like, I'm not participating in this activity or that activity. I think if I could just go online and there were no organizations or people trying to get me to do stuff with them, it would be a lot easier.
I try not to make fun of people in terms of how they spend their entertainment time or time, because you shouldn't make fun of people for liking things. That was a big thing when I was growing up, is I felt bad for liking certain things or TV shows, bands, what board games, books, whatever, because, you know, other people didn't like them, and they would question why I would like some things, and that therefore I would question why I would like some things. I was in a conversation recently with somebody who, like, I was wearing a Soul Coughing shirt, and I was in a conversation with somebody who completely, like, oh, Soul, you're into Soul Coughing. Oh, their second two albums are trash. I don't know what they were doing. And I'm like, dude.
What?
I just told, but the thing is, they also, like, got a couple facts wrong. Like, oh, yeah, that song Helicopters on their second album. Oh, no, I don't know. And I'm like, nah. Okay, you're getting your facts wrong.
That, my friend, is on Songs in the Key of X.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And, you know, the song called Unmarked Helicopter.
What if they thought Songs in the Key of X was a Soul Coughing album? Oh,
they are,
man.
They're just all over the place. But to finish this thought, though, I had to, like, remind myself, oh, yeah, his opinion is his opinion. It doesn't affect whether or not I enjoy this band. I still enjoy this band, and I shouldn't feel bad because he doesn't like them.
Yes, exactly. And it's very hard for me to do that, but I keep trying. And also, I just need to mention, Songs in the Key of X, there was a secret track that you had to, like, rewind from the beginning in order to listen to. Something to that effect.
Huh?
And,
like a DVD on a CD?
On a CD, yeah. I want to say that's how it worked. It was Nick Cave, and I can't remember the name of the song, but it was so good. It was really nice. So yeah, look it up, find out what the song is, and then listen to it. Also, I've never played EVE Online. Is the other thing.
I have never played it, but I have seen people play it.
Tell me what sort of genre is it? Is it space?
It's like Space Warcraft. Space World of Warcraft.
Okay, cool.
And Steven, you can pop in and fix some of these details, but I came into the office one day, and he was watching a game where this one big ship that apparently in the real world costs a lot of money for whatever player to build it, was getting absolutely destroyed by all these other ships. It was a mega battle where it's like many against one, and it was an event. And apparently, real world dollars were going down the drain in this one battle.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, EVE Online. Haven't played it. I've seen it played. Still not interested in playing it, but. If that's your thing, have at it. Just stop talking to me about it all the time.
So what's next?
Oh, that's it. As far as topics go, or we could talk about Kingdom. The collaborative story building game is sent to the Goody Pratt family. Did Steven send you a game?
Wait. Did Steven just say that he already sent us a collaborative storytelling game called Kingdom? That, like, should we have it?
Do you?
I don't think we do. I don't know.
Well, let us know next week if you receive it in the next couple days.
Oh, like he sent it just recently?
I don't know, you can see it yourself in the mentions on Twitter.
Okay, so one of the cool things, also, your friend and mine, Ben Robbins, did a thing called Microscope.
Okay.
Microscope is cool, check it out, it's a world-building tool. Sort of a world-building tool. I just happened to be looking at through my D&D books, and Microscope is mentioned for recommended reading in the D&D book.
Oh, really? I know that Ben, basically gave up his business to design games.
It's It's really cool. Okay.
Steven says he sent you Kingdom a year ago.
What? Okay. Steven, I will have to look into this because I don't know. It's just called Kingdom?
Yeah. Unless I'm misreading it, and it's called Kingdome, and you pretend to be a multi-use sports facility in Seattle.
Okay, I'm gonna have to look and see what is going on with this because normally I would know this, I believe. Is it a board game? Is it a book? Is it a...
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. You're the one who has it. Allegedly.
Do I, though? That's my conundrum. I would think... Huh. I almost want to call Jennifer. Is it worth getting up from the thing?
No.
Oh, we're close to the end of the podcast. Steven, I am sorry that I don't know about it. I should know about it. I will look and see what's going on with that. Because I'm not tracking it. So, my apologies. Like, big time apologies. Because it sounds cool. It sounds like something that I should have. But yeah, so I do have Microscope. And I think Steven sent that to me as well.
Ah, yeah. Apparently Ben now makes his living designing games.
Well, that's really cool. Because Ben was a good... I played a couple of games with Ben, and he's really good.
Yeah. And he was super nice to me when I had some tech questions very early on in our friendship and fielded a couple of emails, though he didn't really have to.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to check out what other games he's designing then, because that might be interesting.
Yeah, if he's making a living off of it, I'm assuming there are a few.
I'm into games now, so that all works out.
Steven asks if you notice if the Goody Prets receive other things.
Yes.
Do you check the mail?
Sometimes. I check the mail when I can. Jennifer sometimes beats me to it. But yes, I do notice there are things that when we receive them and we don't know why we're receiving them, Jennifer and I look at each other and we say, "This is probably Steven."
Oh, like if you get something and it's got no return address on it or
right,
no like gift tag or anything.
Yeah. No. Did you order this? No, I didn't order this. Where did this come from? And we enjoy everything that we get, except for Kingdom, apparently, which I don't know. I feel like very bad, but I cleaned our living room and I have a section where I put all of the board games. So that's why I was asking if it was a board game or a book or what.
Yeah.
So that's Jennifer knows about it, maybe.
It's possible.
No, speaking about maybe Jennifer knows about it, I'm not going to call for Betty.
No.
This time.
Is she asleep?
She got all of her... She got a lot of more teeth extracted yesterday.
Yes.
She's not great.
I would not be happy either.
Yeah, so that is something. But I can't wait to look and see how the audio is on this. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, maybe I'll just extract the audio from the YouTube stream.
Yeah, but I think this might actually work. I think this might be good. Oh, speaking of which, here's Edward. Hi, buddy. How's it going, pal? Yeah, he's having a good time. But yeah, Ben, so I'm going to come clean for just a second.
Uh-oh.
There was one other thing that I believe Steven wrote in the Twitter feed, which I saw, because when I saw that there were so many, it was something like, well, he'll see these later or something. I saw that.
Yeah.
But he also, I believe, wrote gnomon. The word gnomon.
And what does that mean to you?
Okay, so that is a book. And the reason I wanted to mention it on the podcast is, Stephen, I swear to this, Jennifer and I were talking to Betty about books and people and reading. And when we were in the car, this is before I saw the thing that you wrote, she and I both said that the last book that we read was Gnomon. That we haven't read books in like a year for some reason. And that Gnomon was the last book that we read. Actually, that's not true for me. I read a book on how to detect if whether or not people are lying. So that was
and,
cool.
And did it work?
It kind of... I mean, I talked to Jennifer about it, and it's kind of common sense stuff. If people don't directly answer your question, that's a good indicator.
Right.
If people say things like, oh, we've already been over this, or I think I've already mentioned this, or I already told you about this, that's another one. There is...
One of the tales that I read was that if you ask somebody a direct question, if they ask you to repeat it, and then repeat it themselves, and then like either laugh or look away... then that's a tell that they're lying, or at least stalling for a long enough time to make up an answer.
Downplaying the importance of something is another one. Why are we here talking about this when blah, 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 blah?
This could have been an email.
Could be happening. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to say that it was funny that we were talking about Gnomon, and then Stephen put Gnomon in the... he's going to ask... Did you just not read that one because you didn't know what it was?
Yeah, I skipped it because I didn't know what it was.
Okay. Just checking. Because it happened to be the only one that I read. And so I was... And this shows I was cheating, Ben. Bad metagaming. I was formulating, I've got a good story about Gnomon. I'll just, whenever he says it, I'll just come up, here's an interesting thing. But yeah.
No, I do practice editorial control over things that I say on the podcast.
Ben, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you practice editorial control in your own life in general about things you say? I hear some people think about what they say before they say it, and it can be useful.
What? Could you repeat the question, please? Do I practice editorial control on things that I say in real life?
Stop
Why
it.
Are we even talking
stop.
About this? There are more important things we could be doing. This podcast could have been an email.
This is an actual laugh that I'm doing.
As opposed to those fake laughs
here's the thing. If you laugh to the point where you're mad about it, that's a real laugh, in my opinion.
I'm mad that I'm laughing at this.
If it's something someone is doing to you, it's good. So, I guess that's it. Is there anything that we need to cover as far as upcoming things at Annex? Anything?
No. It's Friday night. I'm probably going to be working late today, so maybe I'll watch something on the big screen here all by myself.
Oh, hey, there's something. Loki, episode 2 is out, and I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I'll watch that.
I have not seen Loki yet.
Yeah.
Not really good. Keeping up on the current TV.
That's a weird thing. Betty asked if we still had Disney Plus. I said, yeah. And I asked her why, and she said, it's something for school. I think it's weird that school would need someone to watch something on Disney Plus. That seems...
That does seem unusual.
Incorrect to me.
Yeah.
So, anyway, then, between now and then... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
But that would be like when we were kids, if our required assignment was watching something on cable.
Right, exactly. Watch, tell me what this is on HBO.
Yeah. I want you to watch the documentary series Real Sex on HBO.
Yeah, and I want you to write it down in detail.
Describe it to me, because the ex took the cable away from me.
Don't let my wife know. But that's like somebody said that there is a service where you describe movies for the blind. And that sounds like a cool thing. And then I just realized, oh yeah, it would depend on which movie.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
Well, when I started watching Cabin in the Woods recently on whatever streaming service it was, it defaulted to the audio descriptions channel.
Oh, I like that. And I like the audio descriptions.
It took me a while to realize what was going on.
Yeah. I had the same thing. I accidentally watched an episode of CSI Like It with that on it, and I really enjoyed it. Because I could draw, and I wouldn't have to look up from my pen and paper as much.
Yep.
But I do think, yeah, all right, this is the movie Irreversible, and I'll be describing it to you.
This is my first day on the job, and so here we go. Yeah. Yeah, until next time, keep it wrong, Paul.